This is an oral history interview with Frances Lee of Wahiwa, and she is 93 years old and immigrant status when she arrived. Okay, Frances, here we go. Can you tell me about your parents, what town they were from in Korea, if you recall?
Well, my father died when I was just born. Very early age. My father died early when I was just born, not too much. And my mother came. She wasn't supposed to come. She couldn't come. But somehow she haggled and then she came. Immigration time, they don't want a single woman if they cannot work in the fields. They want people that only could work in the fields. So she went around and looked for a husband and she found one. So she came to Hawaii.
So she was married before she came?
No. I don't know about that part. I know she said. I was small and I didn't care what happens. So I don't know how it happened, but she came with the husband.
What year was that when she came?
1905.
And how old were you?
4 years old.
You were 4 years old in 1905. Frances, after you came here, where did your parents go? What plantation did they go to?
Maui.
Punene.
And that's Baldwin Company.
Baldwin. So that was sugar cane?
Sugar cane.
So your mother and father went to Punene Plantation and you lived on that plantation. And how long did you live there?
I don't know exactly. Sent me to Honolulu, the Korean Christian, KCI, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there for a while, and then I got married very young.
How old were you when you got married?
16 or 17.
16 or 17. Right after KCI?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you spend at KCI?
So I started to Yai Laundry. And that's where I stayed at.
Did you do GI laundry at home?
This was in that place. I had an old house out there with a big yard to hang my clothes. I stayed there for, I did laundry for 13 years. My son graduated from college. And my younger one too, the youngest one. And my son graduated, three of them graduated.
What was your days like that you would work for 13 years doing all this laundry? What time did you get up and get everything ready?
You don't know how you, nowadays the young people never believe how about you used to work. Get up 5 o'clock in the morning and went to bed 10 o'clock at night.
Tell me what you did, how life was like and how you made everything ready for your children when you
That's the only that thing is I wanted to educate my children. That's the main thing in my mind. I have to educate them. So I worked hard. I worked hard long all my life because I was pretty old.
What was Wahiwa like when you came?
Wahiwa was your mother was running over and what? Killer shop? School field, yeah? I worked over there these few days. A little while, yeah? At your mother's shop. And then, after a long time, I bought a dry cleaning shop. Dry cleaning and killer shop and school field. Go for the tailor shop, I took care. And the laundry shop, I saw it.
But all the laundry was done at home.
Yeah, and you do laundry at home. It was all in the shop.
Oh. Where was this? Do you remember whether it was infantry or it was.
Infantry
in Schofield Barracks. So you had a whole quadrangle.
Borrowed the money because my children had no credit around because they were too young. So I borrowed the money. The tailor shop and the laundry shop was $30,000. I paid for it.
Did you borrow Korean stuff, the tatamoshi or the key?
Yeah, I had brandy. I had 4 tanamashi coins to pay for that. Tanamashi is $100 a month, $400.
And that was when you started?
Mm-hmm.
And what year was that?
I don't remember.
So you worked 10 hours a day and raised your children. When you worked every day, was it 6-7 days a week you would work?
No. We did work on Sundays.
And tell me about your church. I have seen pictures of you at church. How was a church started here when you came to Wahiwa?
When I came to Wahiwa, the church was under, you see the new buildings coming up over there?
You mean on Olive Street, yes.
And the Olive Street, yes, on the lower side was our church. But when I came, the new church, they were so proud there at the new church. But after 10 years, the church came all old and we didn't have money to keep up all that. So the mission dog, we could have another church. So they bought that big lot of here with us. Did you see our new church?
Mm-hmm. the cemetery.
Yeah, it was a big cemetery. Now it's people living in that place. On the inside there are
on the cemetery.
That's what we built it.
About how many families do you think lived about, if you remember, about how many families lived on the downside part of Wahiawa that were Korean and went to the church at the corner of Olive Street? About?
Not too many. Mm-hmm. They are over. About 12. There was your mother there, and even, what's her name? Ivaida?
Mm-hmm.
Ivaida's father owned four what is it? Yeah. Duplex. He owned two duplex for that. So that was four things there. And about some about 10 feet.
The Hyuns lived here. Mm-hmm. You know, Korean style is we share and work very hard. One of the things I learned by reading someone who was educated, and her name is Bernice Kim, and she wrote about the Koreans in 1934. Something she said was that everybody called each other, the children called each other auntie,
what
and uncle.
Ajisi,
Ajumani.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all of us became family. So what I want to know is Korean style, when you went to church, did you feel like we were all family or clan and we worked together and cried together?
The thing is, the early part of 1900, there came a Korean Christian church. That's the divided all the Koreans. If you were a Christian church people, I don't talk to you. You were a good friend, you were, I don't talk to you. The Christian church wanted that the Sigmund church. Well, all the Koreans to be joined their church, but we didn't join their church. And then the one people that didn't join their church is, they call us not Koreans, you are Japanese.
Oh my goodness.
That's what they call us. And so how good a friend you were, you and I were good friends, but if you go Christian church and I met that this, we are enemies already.
Oh. So when they insulted you like that, you were very pained. It must have hurt you very much.
Yeah. I wish your mother was alive. She knew everything.
Well, she's not alive. And I asked people to tell me about my mother, but can you tell me, was my mother helpful in keeping peace and doing things for the Christians here on this side of Wahiawa? I know she taught school.
Yeah, she taught the Korean school, but she was very helpful all around. You know, I was too busy keeping my family together, so I couldn't enjoy them in a church service like that. Yeah, with me every day. But your mother was very helpful out of the church in the Korean community.
Tell me about the Korean schools here since after you came. How many did they have, and how many teachers taught Korean school, and for how long did this Korean language school go on?
I don't know how or when it started, but I heard that when what's that old teacher's name? I forgot his name. And before that, your mother was teaching for a while.
Do you know how many years she taught about?
I was too busy with my own business. I didn't keep track of anything like that. But she taught the Korean school for a while.
So, as you, in other words, you just had to concentrate on working because you wanted to educate all your children. That was a foremost in your mind.
Yeah. That's the main thing.
Korean style, because of Confucianism, where the head of the government was the king, where the head of the house was the man, the father. After you move here to Hawaii, was it the same that way, or did you feel that you had to take over and you had to guide your children in the direction?
Well, my children, I have to direct them what to do and what not to do. So, and it was a depression time. So the Korean children, naughty, 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 they steal everything. You know, before there a Piggly Wiggly store over there on the corner. And the bakery man used to come and bring the bread early in the morning, I heard them, the box. Boys used to go and steal all the bread and things like that, you know. But some parents didn't mind. Even they got reform school, right? So forth. But my children, I thought, if you ever get caught by the police for stealing, that's the end of your day, he said. You're not, you know, I'll punish you. Me, I used to spank my children and think they do wrong. And not only talking, I just spread them.
My mother used to go get a switch. Sometimes my mother would tell my brother to go choose the switch he wants.
Yeah.
When you were on the plantation, did you have to work when you were a young child? Did you have to go to work and pick pineapple or
no,
plant?
That I didn't do.
Oh.
I never worked in the fields.
Your husband worked in the fields.
Yeah, he worked in the fields. You know, my mother was a cook for all the Tinder boys. She said, when you have a plantation style, it's a certain part of the field, you're contracting that field. You find your workers how many, and they all single men, so they have to have a cook. My mother used to always cook for the boys.
And you had to help your mother.
But my mother didn't want me to do anything.
Oh, wow.
She did everything herself.
Uh-huh.
She didn't tell me to do this or to do that, no.
So after the Korean Christian School, that was the end of your education.
Yeah.
So at the Korean Christian School, though, you learned Korean.
We had a Korean school teacher too, one man, man teacher. And when he was an old-fashioned old man, and the girls used to run him around, and they asked him for everything. He was a very good, patient man.
So you had your everyday, you had Korean lessons, and you would read Korean.
Yeah.
And then you were there by yourself. You didn't have your family with you.
No, only myself with all the other girls. We are big dormitories. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, have a room. Room with a certain amount of girls in one room.
And you had, I understand for a while there was a Miss Salome's Han mother was a cook there.
Yeah.
And so she cooked food for you.
Yeah. But the cooking, I tell you, they fed us just like, I started with Susanna Master home. the Susanna Rusker home cook was a Japanese woman. So she cooked a Japanese style with, you know, pumpkin soup with a soft sauce inside, and that's how they used to feed the girls. So
pumpkin soup and rice.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. No more tukan and panchan. Only one soup every day, different kind, you know. And even the soup, you have to have some kogi meat inside, yet, but no, just salt or kanjang. And
very poor.
In my young mind, that I changed her to over the other side, maybe they feed us better. So I told my mother, I go to the other side. And my mother, anything I wanted, I had.
For food?
No, at my mother's things, money or anything in there. And I think I was one of the few girls that had spending money. One year, if you get $3 a year, you're a rich girl. $3, and they don't let us spend the money any way we want. We cannot buy anything unless you sneak and buy. You have to sneak and buy. And then Salome's mother was cook, same kind of cook. No, they say you eat too much meat, you get your blood hot and get boils like that. You know, the kids, when they're growing up, they always have some kind of things going, you know?
Oh.
And then they ask them because they're feeding us too much meat. But where the meat came from? Maybe once a week, they make small little thing and make. And after that, even that was cut off.
So you had hard time at Korean Christian school. You were hungry.
Everybody was hungry.
So I can see why your mother was concerned about you. Seems like she was worried about you.
But she did not raise me in the plantation. She wanted me to, you know, all the funny things happening in the plantation, so she wanted me to town. I had a stepfather, and he insisted when I was very young, he wanted me to get married to this man. So my mother and him, because I told my mom I don't want to get married to this man. And she and then my stepfather had a big fight all the time. So anything I say, my mother goes with me. She never take his side, she always takes my side. So that's how I got married, and I had six children, and now I have five babies.
So after all this time, and after coming to Wahiwa when you did, and working so hard, can you tell me how you managed to raise your children? How you managed your everyday life, your cooking, and sending them to school, the hard times, the rice balls.
And in those days, everything was cheap. Even one child in the morning, you get nickel for milk and nickel for lunch. Only 10 cents. Then today, 75 cents a lunch. And those days, it was nickel a lunch. And nickel for the milk. That's all. But I had five going to school at time. That was kind of hard for me. Because I was running the family laundry. That's why I managed at least to send them to school.
Did your children all come to the laundry and help you every day or summertime? Or did you just say, I'm going to do it because I'm the mother?
Well, my older son used to help a lot in vacation or the days that they didn't have to go to school. But the younger ones said, no. My phone was kind of weak child when she was young. because I never asked her to do anything, just to sit around. And even going to school, Dr. Wee told me this girl has a murmuring heart, so it's kind of dangerous. So in those days, nobody had car. Maybe you remember too, hardly anybody had car. I had a hard time looking for a car to take her to Little West High School over there. But that was all a mistake. When she went to university and the university doctor checked her, nothing wrong, you can do everything, get in. I'm sure that you can swim, you can go play tennis. That was, you know, Dr. Lee was kind of, he was our family doctor, but he wasn't a smart doctor.
So, you didn't have a car?
We didn't have a car till late.
How did you get to your shop?
I did at home. I had a two-story house here. And there was a man with a truck, van. And he used to do a small, him and his wife, so they did small laundry. So I told him, and that man owed me some money before from where the plantation is. Instead of paying that money, you told me, is your truck? So he helped me the truck. And I pay the bills with gasoline. And some, he said he would pay the repair bills, but he's a druggie. He's a book, I can opium, I think. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So they didn't have money all the time. So I had to pay with them everything. Mm-hmm.
So you were like the accountant. You were the accountant for your business. Mm-hmm. And you managed and you built. Did you build your own house?
Mm-hmm.
All by yourself?
Yeah. Nobody helped me pay for the house.
Mm-hmm. Did you have carpenters come and build?
Yeah.
Contractors?
Yeah,
friends.
I think in a Popolo.
Oh, the Kim boy.
No, the Chan.
Chan boy.
Chan
yes,
boy.
Yes.
He was a contractor, so he wanted to build a house, but he didn't have a chance to build a house. I think this was his first house he built. others were all later on. Later on, it was pretty good, but this was the this house. And he said, anything you want, I put in for you. I will even put fireplace for you. Five places for the house, which house is not for Korean like me. I don't want to. Yeah. This house. When I bought it, it was so cheap in those days. Yeah? For $1,200, I bought this 2-lot land and the house there, 2-story house. That's why I stayed there and I did the laundry.
And the house where you live here now on Olive Avenue used to be your clotheslines?
Yeah.
I remember that. Always busy, always busy.
I couldn't even go to church every Sunday. I had to, you know,
iron
and sometimes drains and all the things.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't dry.
And like now, I should have professional. My second son runs the shop. Even the clothes, you don't have to dry the sun. The machine doesn't dry everything.
I noticed that you speak English very, very good. Who taught you how to speak English?
I went to government school. I went to KCI, and I went to Kahuman School. So that was the home. I used to go to Kahuman School. So I went to, and I went to the Korean Christian Church. Then they, over there, on Christian KCI, they still call it. They had their own teacher and their own English school.
That's right, they had two English teachers, so you learned from them.
Yes.
Tell me, who delivered your children?
They had two legs. Oh, delivering you then when
you were
born?
Yeah, when you were born. Who delivered your
My children? Mother.
Your mother delivered all your children?
All my children.
At home?
At home. Nobody would, today nobody would believe that. But my mother did not read or write. But she was kind of a little smart in the head, yeah? So in olden days, when we were living in the plantation, when the young ladies come to give birth, they always come get my mother. I don't know how she did, but she did.
Did you have any problems with your delivery? Or
no
problems. You
like
were healthy.
I have easy birth, and I don't have morning sickness. I had easy compared to some other people.
So after you delivered your children, did you go back to work right away, or Korean style, do you wait 21 days?
My mother would never let me work, even when I first had my first children. For about a whole month, she didn't let me even go in the kitchen.
A wonderful mother to help you. So you must have loved her very, very much.
Oh, at the end, she couldn't walk, she fell down from the stairs. For 9.5 years, I have to take care of her.
She, you mean you took care of her and bathed her and changed her and cooked for her?
Yeah. Like bathing when I just make a bottle and then she bathed herself. But the other thing she would do, she couldn't walk, so even, you know, slow, but she bathed herself and I used to feed her.
Did you have any extra things that you like to do with your hands, like maybe sew extra clothing, or knit, or do Korean embroidery, or did your mother do things like that and teach you?
No. And those things, when I was young, I used to crochet and knitting. My children, when they were growing up, the sweaters like that, I used to knit them all for them. But as I grow older, the girls came old enough to do those things. Now they do it themselves.
Most of the women, especially the Korean women in this community, they all used, they never wasted anything. Mm-hmm. So did you sew all your clothing for your children too, the shirts and dresses?
So I used to sew the dress and everything, pants, shirt, everything I could do.
You never went to sleep then?
Well, very little. But when you're young, you want to sleep, yes? In a place, I put my head down, I used to sleep for us to sleep.
Tell me about your mother. Was she very Korean, and if she says something to you, did you always listen to her?
Yes, she's Korean. She didn't know how to speak English or anything. Yes, she's Korean. But me being the only child, she never scolded me or anything. If I do anything, I tell Mama this or that. Oh, I want money for this or that. Okay. She's never.
So she treats you like you were precious.
Yes. And when my children grew up and coming out from college, she used to tell me in her life, the best thing she did is bring me to Hawaii. If I left you in Korea, maybe you get married to a father and work in a farm like that. But over here you came, even you work hard, it's worth it. Just look at your children. When she was alive, but 3 children, 1 graduated from college, they came. And when they came home, they came to Shigam and they put their hat on and the gown and show her how they look. She was so happy.
There was a time when there was a feeling about when they say about Koreans here in Hawaii, they say they didn't have a country because it was occupied by the Japanese. Can you tell me how the community in this area felt about that, and whether or not you participated, for instance, in not buying Japanese kanjang, soy sauce, and things like that, or did you feel that you had to help your Korean brothers and sisters in Korea and donate for the orphans and things like
that? Yeah, we did. And any little thing comes up, like we didn't have a country. That we have a country that's people here, no more country. So anything to help the Koreans in Korea, we are all for 100% to go. In the days that they used to go out and work for dollar day, you know, we had this dollar day. They were all giving a dollar a month or $2 a month. Yeah.
That's big money, yeah, in those
Indonesia
days.
Indonesia is a big money. But if you are, some people are stingy and they don't know, if you don't want to give, they have a certain name for you.
Oh. There was a Korean, Wahiwa Korean Association over here across from the church on Ojai Street there. Mr. Owen's property.
Oh, Tommy Garapu.
Garapu, yeah. What did they used to do there?
Over there they used to have all the Korean societies here. Mr. O wanted money from everybody to donate to keep that thing up. And once he came and he told me, give me $100 and you'll be a member, but you cannot say nothing. You only, your name is on the book. I don't have to belong to Tommy Garapu. I refused to give him the $100. He didn't like that idea.
What did they use the money for, do you know?
Oh, they had plenty of things to do. All the social things and the young children used to learn how to dance, Korean dance. The Korean dance teacher used to come there and teach them. And once in a while they used to have just like a concert here. And they charge them money.
I see. Did you enjoy going to all the church picnics with all the ladies?
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes they would have drums, somebody would sing songs, mm-hmm, and dance. And I remember seeing the ladies dance. Did you used to dance too?
I never did dance. I don't know how to dance. I don't know. I never, they tell me we go. Even senior citizen club they have up there, yeah? They have dancing class, but I never heard them.
You mean Korean dance, even now?
Any kind of dance, they, Japanese dance, and American dance, or maybe you have had enough Koreans, they'll have Koreans.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But like us, when I came out of the home, my children had grown up, they go on the work, to do, they all went to work at Fong Sik, which is taught for 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys go work with the army, the navy. Then I was relieved then. And then I bought a car. So after Sunday church, we have service earlier than the English, yeah? So we get together and everybody make a dish. And we used to go to Aliba, and every Sunday we used to go. But now they all died, so only me left, I cannot go.
So that was fun times,
fun
when
time,
you used
yeah.
to go to Haleiwa Beach and have picnic with all your friends.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds wonderful.
Like our church, we don't associate our church people.
Ah, only your own
only
church.
The Methodist.
Tell me about that. You didn't make friends with any of them, and you didn't associate with them.
Even you and I were good friends, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And if I don't join the Christian church gang, we are not friends anymore.
That was just the way life went. And do you mean to say that most of the lower church, the Methodist church people, they just didn't have anything to do with the upper church?
Anything? No, we are not friends. We're not just like not the same nationality.
And because they insulted you and called you different names?
Yeah, but now after Sigmund Rhee died and he was pushed down from the presidency, that it's changed. Now we're a little bit closer than before.
That's very good.
Now we,
that's very,
yeah,
very good.
Have a drink.
Yeah, in a minute. Are you getting thirsty?
No.
I remember during the war years, there was a missionary lady, Alice Appenzell,
yeah,
who came from Korea because she was born there, I guess because she's an American citizen. But she used to help with our church.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how you thought about her because she spoke Korean and she was an American lady?
We were trying to at least accommodate anything that she wanted. Yeah. But the ministers didn't like her because they were afraid that they might take his job from her.
But she kind of looked after the girls, didn't she?
She looked after all the young kids too, huh? Mm-hmm. And she was trying everything to help us, anything to help. Even in church or everything, yeah. But that time, Reverend Lim was here. Reverend Ann went to Korea as a representative from Hawaii, yeah. So Reverend Lim, retired minister, came. And he was an old man. He doesn't do anything. Just every day he take a nap and he stays. He doesn't do anything. So, that means Miss Appenzell used to tell him to do this and to do that. Oh, he didn't like the idea, and he wanted the old lady to go home right away, but he didn't go.
She had, she would get all the young children for youth fellowship and prayers. And then sometimes we had a choir?
Yeah, yeah.
And we would sing in church for all of our wonderful mothers and fathers. Did the men used to sit separate on one side in church and the women on one side in church?
I think that's the way you used to sit on one side and the men on the other side. Mm-hmm.
And at first there was an organ there. Do you remember how it is that we had got the organ, that beautiful organ, that pump organ?
When I came, it was here already.
Ah.
So, and after that, the organ was old, and we wanted a piano. We were going to buy a piano. So we went around, Mrs. Hyun and I, we went walking all through the Korean community, and we got donations. Some would give $1, some would give $5. So that piano was $800.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was big money. But we had that for many years, and then the organ was old. So Mally's husband died, and they donated that piano.
Mally's husband, after his death, donated that piano?
Yeah, Mally and her daughter. They donated the piano to the church.
Ah, so we had beautiful music, mm-hmm, all the time.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Now we have
music,
an organ and a piano.
At the new church.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to ask you is this. Sometimes we go through life and very important things happen. Very important things that really you remember most of all. Can you tell me what some of these things are that you remember most of all? Like maybe your citizenship, or maybe you went back to Korea.
Oh yeah, those things happen all the time. New citizens, I was one of the first ones to get that citizenship.
Naturalization.
Yeah. And then, like lately, a lot of people go to Korea back and forth. I went to Korea many times. Yeah. Because the money came easier to get than before. In the beginning, we hardly had any money. Even food, you couldn't buy what you wanted. Yeah. But later on, when the war came, the money came too.
When you went back to Korea, did you find family?
My family is from the north, so I couldn't. If my mother was living, she wanted to find her son and her grandchildren there, but no communication. And my brother is a country, I think he's a country farmer, because when we were write a letter from here, we used to send one envelope from here with our address on, yeah, and the stamp on. But we wrote to him, but he didn't answer us the last one. So we lost communication.
Mm-hmm. About what year was that?
Right after the war.
1941, yeah. 42, yeah. So after the Japanese occupation, mm-hmm. Real serious then. So what province what town in Korea were you from?
Oh, we were from the north, Pyongyang.
Pyongyang?
Yeah, Pyongyang.
You remember the small name of the town?
My brother used to live at a small little town. They call it Oktori.
Oktori?
Yeah, Pyongyang-do.
We had lots of Koreans from the north here, yeah? A lot of the Koreans around here. My mother, is Mrs. Hyun's family from the north? They were so tall.
There's Mrs. Hyun's family is from the Gyeongsang-do.
Gyeongsang-do.
That's the south. When I went to Korea and we stayed at one hotel in Gyeongsang-do. And they had a Japanese music on the television going on, loud. So we said, how come you folks have Japanese music here? I said, oh, this is from Japan, direct from Japan, not from Korea.
Well, now that all this time has passed, and can you tell me about how strongly you feel about being Korean, and after all your children have been educated, can you tell me whether it's important to you about being Korean?
Oh yeah, it's like now on the young side, the children doing all the education, we don't care if you're Koreans or not. You know, they say we are, any place they go, they say we're Koreans, but not that strongly, yeah? See, anything happens, it's Korean for us, yeah? It's not like that. That the younger generation is different. They think they're American.
So are you proud both to be Korean and American? But really, in your heart, do you feel that you're more Korean?
Yeah, yes. In the place we go, I'm American, I'm a Korean. Yeah. If anybody asks me, what nationality are you? I'm a Korean. Because I make the American citizens as American. No? I never use that American my country, in my, you know, it's like the country that you were born in. But Korean, any place, Korean come first. Mm-hmm.
All your children who are married, can you tell me if they married Koreans?
They married Japanese.
All of them?
Mm-hmm. They all.
They all married a Japanese?
Mine married Japanese. The second one married Japanese. My daughter married a Filipino man, Joshua Axelrod. He's a smart. He has PhD and he's a smart man. His son got married to a Filipino girl. But this Filipino girl is a well-educated girl. So she opened a bridal shop. And she's, I was just making good. She went to business school too, not only college, just business school and everything. So she begin as a beginner, she did very good.
Can you tell me if you in all your hard work and wanting to give your children education so that they would have a better life, do you think that you're happy now with everything that you worked for all the years? And if so, how do you think that you want to be remembered?
As of now, I'm kind of proud of my family too, because my children, they all have a good job. I see some people, they cannot find a good job, they go to anything that come along, they have to go. But my sons and their daughters, they all had a good job, they all had a government job. And like Lester, she was in the Navy and she had a head of the accounting. She took care of all the Navy money going in and out. Because she went to business school. And the other boys, you know, they all had a good job. So I'm happy now. I have no worries.
So you're very, very happy. Well, I'm happy for you too, Frances. And I know you have a doctor's appointment, so I'm going to go ahead and let you rest, because you've been talking to me for a long time now.
I gave you my life history to you.
That's right. And this ends the interview for the Oral History Project on Frances Lee.